When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, ladies. Welcome back to another podcast episode. My name is Alicia Gogan, the host of the Glow Up Secrets podcast, where I help you expand your mind and become more self-aware so that you can glow up into the best version of yourself. Ladies, you are going to love this conversation. I have on the podcast Hannah Chan. She is a TikToker. She's on Instagram as well. She's a dating expert. She's also a really successful businesswoman. She is so many things. But she talks a lot about dating and relationship advice on TikTok, a lot about feminine energy, a lot about high-value men and how to get one. And she has interviewed and talked to different men, and she's in a high value relationship right now. So she has a lot of experience and she has so much wisdom and all of the tips for women who are in a period of their life right now where they know that dating bottom of the barrel men is not working, entertaining men who will not commit to you is not working, you're up-leveling your life, which means you're having to look at some of the relationships that you have previously been in or you're currently in, and you're realizing that these relationships also need to up-level, and maybe you've heard the term getting a high-value man, how to even get one, being a high-value woman as well, and you want to dive more into the topic of understanding how to get the man of your dreams, how to show up as that high-value woman yourself as well. And in this episode, we debunk a lot of things that are prevalent in the culture right now when we think about high-value men and high-value women. We talk about how the fact that it's not just about money and why it's important to not just look and date men for their money and other traits that we need to be looking for as women. We talk a lot about going 50-50 in relationships and dating potential. We also talk about the importance of making your own money in relationships. And on the flip side, how not to lead with that when it comes to attracting masculine men. She also lets us know one of the biggest complaints that high-value men will have about women and why they feel like it's hard for them to find the woman of their dreams. We also talk about how to feel worthy as a woman when receiving and being provided for from a man. And honestly, so much more. This conversation honestly just inspired me to become a better woman overall. I feel like we are all on this journey right now. Anyone who listens to the Glow Up Secrets, there's some part of you right now that's working on yourself in some capacity. And I think that as we're on this journey, it's inevitable that relationships are going to come up and we need to reevaluate them. We need to reevaluate who we're entertaining and how we are showing up in our own relationships so that we can get the relationship of our dreams, the life of our dreams, and honestly, just to enjoy life and be happy. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If you did, please don't forget to share a screenshot and tag me at the Glow Up Secrets on Instagram. And I will talk to you guys in the next one. Enjoy. So welcome, Hannah, to the podcast. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Yes, I have been waiting so long, honestly, to have these type of conversations on my podcast, especially with you. I think you are just one of the OGs in the field of talking about dating and high value men. But for anyone first who does not know what you talk about, what you do, especially like on TikTok, you want to just give us a little bit of a rundown. What is your niche? What do you like to talk about?
Yeah, for sure. So I started social media as a business owner, actually, in the entrepreneurship space. So a quick backstory is I quit my 9-to-5 because I wanted to grow my own business. I was like, I'm done living paycheck to paycheck, you know, having to buy the cheapest groceries all the time. I want to start my own business, have that financial freedom, travel, things like that. So I built my own business. And a lot of my social media content in the past was more about like entrepreneurship and business. But then through my level up journey, a huge thing for me was learning how to tap into my feminine side so that I could attract the kind of man that I wanted to date. And after, you know, reading literally every single dating book I could find, after interviewing men, like as if it was my full-time job, I was like, hey, more women need to know this so that they can get the guy they actually deserve. So I started a TikTok around dating, femininity, level up. And nowadays, that's pretty much what I post about. It's everything to do with dating, how to become a high value woman, a bit about business, entrepreneurship, and things like that.
Wow. Okay. Amazing. I definitely have a lot of questions about the business side and like making money and getting rich as fuck in your 20s, like you said on some of your TikToks. Wow. I honestly didn't know that you were posting about entrepreneurship before your like high level, like high value men and women content. So that's really interesting. I didn't know. When did you start on TikTok? Do you remember?
I think it was like this March, like 7 months ago, maybe.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. But here's the thing though, you know, I feel like I'm in like a lucky position because I built my business teaching other people how to do social media marketing. So I kind of have the cheat codes on how to, you know, navigate social media already. So I'd say I'm kind of like lucky in that sense. Yeah. But I only started this dating account like March.
Right. Okay. Interesting. So you know how to build a business and you know how to be successful. Clearly you have been successful with a lot of stuff. Wow. Okay. Well, I have a lot of questions about like the business stuff, but talking about high value men, and I think right now, at least with a lot of women who listen to my podcast and follow me on TikTok, they're at a point, and I talk to them about dating and becoming the best version of themselves and finding men who just aren't doing the bare minimum and all that kind of stuff. I think we're at a point right now as women, we are trying to level up. And with that, we have to realize like we can't date bottom of the barrel men and entertain things like entertain situationships, hookup culture, all this kind of stuff. Like we're kind of over it. But we struggle with struggle with attracting a high value man, understanding what he even wants, all that kind of stuff. But let's quickly talk about high value men. What is a high value man in your eyes and what you've seen and who you're dating a high value man. So
yeah, I love this. So let's start talking about what he's not. And the most common misconception is, oh, a high value man is a man with money.
Yes.
Right? We see this all the time on TikTok where we assume that just because a guy's rich, he's high value. But it goes deeper than that. And a lot of the time, high value and high income, they are correlated because a lot of the traits that make a man high value, like good work ethic and discipline, it's like money is a byproduct of those positive traits. But if I were to define a high value man, I'd say the first thing is good morals. Like he does the right thing when no one's looking. And that links back to not cheating, right? Even if he has the opportunity to. The other thing is he's got discipline in all areas of life. So that's across fitness, finances, sexual discipline, which is why, like we just said, a lot of the time high value men happen to be more financially established, because they have that discipline to maybe start their own business or hustle harder. And then the third thing that a high value man has to have, at least in my opinion, is that providership instinct. Because you can have a guy who is making a lot of money, he runs a successful business, and he does the right thing, but he's got a mindset around dating that women and men are 50-50 and equals. And whenever we get into a relationship with a man with that mindset, it's not necessarily bad, you know, if you resonate with that, but you have to deal with the consequences, which is when you guys get married, there's a chance he might expect you to also be working while also taking care of the house and raising a child.
Right.
So I'd say those three things would be my definition of a high value man.
That is a good definition, because I do find that, especially on TikTok, right, everything just – it's very surface level sometimes, and people don't really understand certain concepts, and we hear about high value men and it's just money, 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 money. And honestly, in my personal opinion, the things that I've seen around me, I've seen women go for on the outside a high value man and it's literally just money, but the inside of that relationship is just, it's so toxic, it's so bad. Yeah. So that's really important to think about some of these traits that a man has. What would you say, like, how can we get this guy though? Because I feel like this probably sounds so good to hear to all of us, like having morals and, you know, discipline and all that kind of stuff. But how do we get this man?
Yeah. And I'm going to say like not the secret, but the main thing we need to think about is not to do with where do I find a high value man, but like, who is the woman I need to become in order to attract a high value man? Because it's easy for us as women to just think that we have to go to the perfect places, right? To feel like all we need to do is go to the expensive high-class restaurants in order to meet the perfect man. But in reality, we have to ask ourselves, even if someone dropped us in a room with 100 high value men, are we also being the kind of woman that they would want to commit to? And when we look at what a high value man is looking for, what a lot of women, at least in my position in the past, don't understand is he's not always looking for the same traits that a woman looks for in a man. He's looking for the complementary traits that he can't naturally bring to the relationship. So earlier on, we said like a high value man, he has to have good work ethic. Right. So the complementary trait to that is a woman who's going to be supportive. And then if we look at another trait, which is, okay, a high value man is a provider. Well, the complementary to that is a woman who is open to receiving and knows how to show appreciation. So if we think about, well, what do we need to do to bag a high value man? It's building that self-awareness to know, A, what do those kind of men want in the first place? And B, working on being the kind of woman that can bring those complementary, more nurturing traits to the relationship.
Right. Okay. That is really good. I resonate with the becoming high value yourself instead of just putting yourself around things in your mind that you think is high value, like those, you know, upscale restaurants or whatever. Because at the end of the day, if you don't have that confidence within yourself, if you don't really feel like you're high value yourself, then, and this has happened to me, like I've put myself sometimes in places where I'm like, oh, okay, like this is where I'm gonna find this high value man, but I have like no confidence at all, and I'm just like, I'm not gonna attract anyone, like I don't even know how to have a conversation with a man like this.
Literally, I used to like text my friends, my girlfriends, single at the time, and we'd be like, let's go to a bar tonight, dress cute and talk to men. And, you know, we say those things, but in reality, most of us, when we come across a guy who is cute and we actually like him, we freeze up. We don't know what to say. We over laugh and we're awkward and we don't even know how to present our best self.
Yes, that's literally so true. What do you think that we can do on like a day-to-day basis to become that high value woman? Like, is there different routines that we should be doing or just like mindset shifts that we should be having to like become this high value woman?
Yeah. One of the biggest ones is building self-awareness. So self-awareness, the way I'd explain it is it's the ability to look at yourself in third person and ask yourself the right questions to challenge your way of thinking. So I don't know if I explained that well, but you know, a lot of the time, like, we get upset and we don't know why, or we get jealous of our friend and we can't figure out why. So if we spend, you know, 10, 15 minutes at the end of each date to just journal and do an end of day free journaling on how your day went, then that in itself is going to really help you start to become more aware of your emotions and the things that you need to work on yourself. Right. Another really good thing to do is do some personality tests. I know there's this one called the Myers-Briggs. And then try to be the opposite of what you are. So for example, I'm an introvert. Like, I don't know if you know the Myers-Briggs, I'm an INTJ, I'm an introvert. So what I'm gonna do is try being more extroverted just to try it out and see what that's like. So that's the most important thing, is building that self-awareness. And then another thing too is, a lot of the time, it's not always about going to the perfect places to meet a high value man. It's about just having more conversations every time you leave your doorstep in the first place. Because high value men aren't just hanging out in these pockets of secret places. They're actually all around us. They could be in the coffee shop in front of us. They could be in the elevator. So it's being more open to just having everyday conversations, and you never know what can come of it.
Very true. Because even thinking the old me, I would have this picture in my mind of like what a high value man is supposed to look like and where he's supposed to be. And anyone else, I just like wouldn't give the time of day, or I just wouldn't have that conversation. And now, like in my life right now, because I understand that a lot of high value men, like, they're not always at the most expensive places. I've actually met so many of them that are not only just wealthy, but just like they are a high value man all around, and they are not in the luxury restaurant or at the bar, like waiting for you to come.
Yeah. Like, it's a bit stereotypical, like Tinder swindler, to assume that all the high value men are just in the really expensive places. And I actually have a really interesting story. So my boyfriend right now, he, one of his like, you know, online friends that he kind of knows, they're friends on Facebook. They met up for the first time in Dubai. And this guy, he was posting on his stories about how he was renting like a really expensive car, and he was staying at a really luxury hotel. And so they met up at his hotel and they went for a few drinks. And my boyfriend was like, what's interesting is throughout that night, there were a few opportunities for him to pay, and he would never pay. He would just wait for the other guys they were hanging out with to pay. And then the craziest thing is, the day after, that guy messages my boyfriend and goes, hey, is it okay if I borrow $3,000? I can't pay for this hotel.
Oh my gosh.
And it just goes to show that sometimes, even though someone is hanging out at more luxury places, it doesn't mean that they're even financially stable.
Yes. And that's actually quite scary, because we get shown this high value, like just like luxury, money, everything on social media as well, or even honestly, even in real life. And we kind of get blindsided. Like, I am just thinking about even the girls who like go to the clubs downtown Toronto, and they get in these booths with these men who are wearing like expensive watches and jewelry and everything. And they just, they think that they're with this like high value, amazing guy. And I'm like, babe, this is not even the full story. I can guarantee you he does not have money to be paying for this. And honestly, I think in my head, I'm like, if you are around a man who's going to just like waste away all of his money on bottles every single weekend, you really think that that's high value? In my head, I'm like, probably not. Or to me, it's not really wealth. You're not really building wealth that way.
Yeah. And just like we spoke about, the place isn't everything. The place can also be an indicator as to how he thinks. So if a guy is just always hanging out at clubs, he's partying, then to be honest, that's not the kind of man that I personally want to be dating. But if he's in a coffee shop or the library or even the bookstore, then that gives you an in to the type of person that he is. Like, he probably works on himself and he's into self-development.
Very, very true.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So there is a lot of discourse about going 50-50 in a relationship. Like, should you let him pay on a first date and in a relationship? Like, should you be paying at all? What are your thoughts on going 50-50 in a relationship?
Okay. I used to be the 50-50 girl. I'll say this. Most women go from being 50-50 to not wanting 50-50 as they evolve, more than the other direction.
Mm.
So for me personally, I used to be 50-50, but I wanted 50-50 for the wrong reasons. Like, when I reflected on why I always wanted to split the bill, it was things like, well, I don't want him to feel like I owe him. Or, well, I feel like no guy actually wants to pay for me. And if we think about it as a woman, that's not really a good reason to go 50-50, because it's not that you genuinely want to, it's because you feel like you have to, so you don't owe him anything. And a lot of the time when we dig deeper into why we don't want to let a guy pay, it almost comes down to sometime in the past, we've been told that we're not worthy of receiving. And we've also been told that there aren't good guys out there who genuinely want to pay for us without expecting anything in return.
Right. Damn.
So now I am not a 50-50 girl at all.
Right.
And to clarify, it's not because of the money, like it's not because of the free dinner and everything, but right. When a man wants to pay for you, it's an insight into whether he's provider-minded or not.
Right. Okay.
So that's what it represents.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any advice for women who might be in a relationship right now and they are in this 50-50 relationship and they're not – what you said just resonated with them and they're like, okay, I'm actually just doing it maybe like not to hurt his ego or – so that he wants me. Do you have any advice for them?
If you're in a relationship where you're 50-50, the first thing you have to figure out is what got you in that position in the first place. Mm. And a lot of the time, what we get is a reflection of what we choose to tolerate or what we accept. That's why when we end up in situationships, well, it's partly because the guy doesn't want to commit. But it's also because we let that happen. Instead of cutting it off at week two, we let it drag on, thinking that the guy's eventually going to commit. I was just talking to a girl the other day who was in a situationship for a year, a whole year, and the guy never wanted to commit. Ooh. And so you can't change a guy's opinion, but what you can do is be protective and set boundaries and walk away. Yeah. So if you're in a relationship, obviously it's not easy. But you owe it to yourself to first do some digging as to, hey, why am I 50-50ing right now? Is it because I've been trained to believe that a guy doesn't genuinely want to pay for me? And right. Second, it might make sense to have that conversation with your boyfriend and see where he stands on everything.
Right. And I do find some women, they are in this 50-50 relationship because maybe – whether they know it or not, maybe their dating potential. Like, what do you, like, what's your advice on girls who are dating men who, let's say they're 50-50, but they want, they've actually said, I want to provide for you, but I just can't right now. Like, I, that's just not where I'm at. This kind of coincides with like the dating potential thing. Do you think that we should be staying in these relationships and waiting, or what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I love this. So I think when it comes to 50-50 versus a man providing, the key thing is that he's trying to provide within his means.
Yeah.
So if, for example, he is paycheck to paycheck and he doesn't have a super generous salary, but he's still trying to pay for your dates, he's just not paying for rent or paying for your nails done, then at the very least, he's got that provider mindset. He just doesn't have the resources.
Right.
But what you don't want is to be with a man who's got the resources to provide for you, but he just doesn't want to.
Right.
So going back to potential, it's one of those things where you have to judge a guy by his actions, not just what he says. So, you know, if he's promising big things and you can see that he's doing a 9-to-5, but at home he's hustling. And if we look at the past 6 months, you can see that his side hustle has gone from, you know, making 500 a month to 2000 a month. Then fair enough. This is a guy who's putting in the action and he's acting in alignment with what he's telling you. He's just not there yet. But if you're with a guy and he keeps making these empty promises and over the months, nothing has changed, then that is a situation that you don't want to be in.
Right. Okay. That's really good advice, because I do feel like there are some situations where there are really good men who just, they cannot provide everything to their woman right now, but maybe they want to. I have one more question. I forget what I was going to say about that.
And I'll just share my personal experience while you're thinking of that too. When I first got together with my boyfriend, he was making less money than me, actually, since we're both business owners, but he still provided within his means and what he could. And that means that when we weren't on normal dates, he would always pay. And every now and again, he would pay for me to like get my nails done. But when we went on holiday, we would have to split the hotel 50-50.
Right.
And I was fine with that, because I could see that not only was he going in like an upwards momentum in his life, but he has that mindset of wanting to provide. So now that he does have more financial means, he's taken over basically everything apart from the things that I pay for myself, like if I go out with my friends.
So that's
just a perfect example to show that it's not that black and white. But generally, if you're looking for a provider, don't just look for whether a guy's got the finances, look for whether he's got the mindset of wanting to do it for you.
Right. That's really good. What I was going to talk about is just like the unrealistic expectations that some of us women have. Again, it's a lot of that social media influence where it's like, you got to find a guy who's making 6, 7, 8 figures. And if he's not, and if he's not providing day one, then he is gone. And what are your thoughts on that type of thinking? Because I personally think it's really harmful. And then a lot of women, they just have skewed expectations and they end up not being with anyone because they can't really find that.
No, I totally agree. I think there's a fine line between having high standards and just being entitled and unrealistic.
Yeah.
So, you know, that personal line is different for everyone. But where I draw the line is I would expect a guy to plan the date and pay for the first date.
Yeah.
I would not expect him to buy me a bunch of roses and book a limousine for me to go on the first date. And Venmo me $50 just because I asked for it.
And some girls really think that.
Yeah. And a lot of the time too, it's not just what you ask for, it's the attitude. And that's a huge difference between whether a guy wants to do it for you or he doesn't, is for a lot of high value men, it's not that they don't want to do those things for a girl. It's that they want to do it for a woman who appreciates it instead of expects it. And so if straight off you're giving a really entitled attitude because you expect a bunch of things from the first date, then men can sense that. Yeah. And that in turn makes them want to do it less.
Yes, so true. I also find that the more that I've become successful myself, it's not that I don't care about a man having money, because again, that also is a byproduct of his just mentality and all that kind of stuff. And that's what I look for. But I don't really like, I'm not expecting him to pay for everything because I also have my own money. Do you find that like being successful as a woman and for you creating a business and having things going for you, that takes less pressure off of the whole like money thing in general with men? Or what do you think?
Yeah, definitely. And in general, men should always be in a position where they pay for you because they want to, not because they have to.
Right.
Like right now, my boyfriend, he pays for our rent and pays for our dinners and stuff like that. But he's doing it because he takes pride in it, like as the masculine to do it, not because I wouldn't be able to afford it.
Right.
So with a lot of women, I actually like, I am 100% in support of women not settling for 50-50 men and looking for a provider-minded man. But at the same time, what I don't really resonate with is women who make their life goal to become a stay-at-home girlfriend.
Right. Interesting.
To purely live off their man without doing anything for themselves. And it's beyond just the money in itself. Like, if you want to be a stay-at-home girlfriend, but take advantage of that position to start your own business or start a podcast or just make something of yourself, then I 100% support that. But there's a difference between being with a provider man because you're lazy versus being a provider man and then using that as an opportunity for you to do things like start a business that you wouldn't otherwise be able to do.
Right. That's really good, because I'm the same way, and I think the same way. Like, okay, if you have somebody who's taking care of you and you're all that kind of stuff, amazing. But you going on a million vacations and having so much free time, I feel like that would get boring eventually. And I feel like we're here to do more than just bask in all of the glory of just like money and everything. Mm-hmm. Like, bring something to the table. And it doesn't have to be, you don't have to do like crazy things, like start a huge podcast or like write a book or do like all of these crazy things. You can do something to contribute to society. I think we all should do that.
Yeah. And that goes back to, what does a high value man want? And I was talking about this with my boyfriend because he was hanging out with his friend who said that he was on the verge of breaking up with his girlfriend, not because he pays for everything, but because she sits at home and watches Netflix the entire time and doesn't do anything else. And what my boyfriend said, he was like, with a lot of high value men, they don't necessarily look for a woman who's bringing in money, but they just want to see that she's got that zest for life.
Right.
Like, even if she's, you know, not working at all and not bringing money, even if she's going to yoga in the morning and then buying some cute groceries to make smoothies and then hang out with her friends in the evening, they just want to see a woman who's got that substance and that almost like that energy and playful side.
Yeah. For absolutely. I love that. I get a lot of questions about this on TikTok. A lot of women don't know what to do when a man wants to split the bill on the first date. Do you have any like advice on what we should be saying if that happens? Like, should we pay for it? Like, should we say something?
You know, I will share what I personally do, which is I would just split the bill, pay my half, but not see him again.
Right.
Yeah. And it goes back, you know, we could sit there and do the whole, oh, do you need help with that kind of thing? But at the same time, that is also a line where at that point he's paying for it purely because he feels the social pressure, not because he actually wants to.
Right.
And in my opinion, if a guy, like the second a guy crosses that line of paying just because he has to, not because he wants to, then at that point, I'd rather pay for myself.
Yes.
It's like when a lot of men say this too, like, oh, I want to have sex with my wife because she wants to, not just because like I make her and she's doing it as a favor for me.
Yes.
It's a similar concept here. So if a guy wants to split the bill on the first date, I personally wouldn't call the scene. I would just split it, but not see him again. And it goes back to, again, like, it's not because of free food. It's because that is a reflection of his mindset. And I just don't want to be with a man who isn't tapped into that provider mindset.
Yes. Yes. So good. Yeah. Just honestly split the bill with him and go on to the next guy.
Yeah. That's at least what I do.
Yeah. 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 Cause again, it really isn't a reflection of like his mindset. Right. And especially if you're like a high value woman, I guess, then honestly on to the next. One last thing actually about making money, because we talked about how it's important to have our own thing going. Bringing it back to the business that you started, what do you have any tips on like how modern day women can start making their own money? Or like, I know you do some type of like programs or coaching, stuff like that. Like any tips for that? Because I feel like some, or at least right now, a lot of us, we kind of don't want to work the 9 to 5. We want to like have our own podcast, or like any tips?
Yeah. The biggest tip, and it starts with the biggest question that I get asked is, I know I want to start my own business, but I don't know what to do. And I don't have money to start a business.
Right.
And you know what? You don't actually need, you don't need money to start a business if you're starting an online business and it's service based. So where we do need money is when we're starting, you know, like anything to do with tech, or wanting to start an application, or wanting to do something that involves real life stock and inventory like e-commerce. Right. But if you start with being in the service-based industry, so you're doing coaching, maybe you are doing video editing, social media management, you don't need any money to get started there. So think about, what is the intersection between something that you love doing and something that you already have expertise in? And for a lot of millennial or Gen Z women and men, it probably revolves around social media, digital marketing, video editing, maybe like Facebook adverts, things like that. You don't need money to start that. You just need clients who would be willing to pay you to do those things for them. Right. So if you want to get started, the biggest thing I'd recommend is go on YouTube, go on TikTok, and start just consuming and binge watching information on how to get clients for a service-based business.
And is that how you started your your business? You kind of just like went on.
Okay. So I started my first business was fitness coaching, because I came from a powerlifting background. So when I was working 9 to 5, my goal was, I want to quit my job and be an online fitness coach, and clients can pay me to do their nutrition and their programming.
Right.
So I did that, but I only knew how to do that because I bought this course, which was my first course I bought was from this guy called Sam Ovens, and he was teaching how to quit your job and become a highly paid consultant. At that time, the course was $1,500. It was basically my entire paycheck. And I was like, I'm scared. Like, what if this is a scam? You know, what if it doesn't work? But I bought it anyway. And 6 to 8 months down the line, I quit my job and I had a business. So then when I did it for myself, that's when I transitioned to doing more of what I do now, which is more like high level marketing business consulting for people who already have online businesses. But going back to like, what do you do when you start? I would recommend everyone listening to start something that just involves trading their skill for money. Like if you're in a headhunting job right now, like I was, then maybe you can quit to start your own headhunting firm, and that doesn't cost you any money to do. You can just work from home. You don't have to buy materials. You don't have to hire anyone in the beginning because you're doing it all yourself. Or maybe you are in maybe you're in like a graphic design kind of role at your work. So then what you can do is, you already have that skill of graphic design. You can quit your job and get your own clients of Fiverr or Upwork, and at least get a few clients paying you very little. Use that for your portfolio and then build up from there.
Yeah, I feel like in this day and age, I don't want to say it's easy, because like obviously you have to put in work and you have to be disciplined and you have to learn things, but there's so many resources out there, and there's so many ways that you can make money online, honestly. Even if you feel like you don't necessarily have like the best skill ever. I mean, you could even start a podcast about giving advice. Like, is that really, do you need to go to university for that? No.
Exactly.
And people make a lot of money from that.
Anything. Yeah. Even with content creation, right? UGC content creation that you see around TikTok all the time is regular people who love taking pictures are getting paid by brands to just create videos and take pictures that the brand can use in their marketing. So like you said, nowadays we're so blessed to be in a position where we have free access to YouTube and Wi-Fi, where it's not easy because it does take a certain mindset to do it, but we at least have that information available to us if we want to do it.
Yes, for sure. I love that. And you just got to start, honestly. Like when I started my TikTok and even like YouTube and stuff, like in my mind, like I knew what I was doing, but I just kind of, I wasn't perfect and I'm still not. I just put myself out there and I'm getting a return on putting myself out there. So honestly, just if you have anything you want to talk about, just do it. Just talk about it.
Yeah. And you know, I'd say the biggest thing that holds people back isn't their skill set or resources or that they don't have connections. It's that they're scared to put themselves out there and they have imposter syndrome of, am I good enough? What if people laugh at me? What if people judge me? What if I'm kind of awkward on camera? When a really good sign that you're moving forward is when your friends start to hate you and when they start to make these really subtle comments about why you shouldn't be what you shouldn't be doing what you're doing. And this is so common, I found, is whenever you start to level up, it's much easier for the people around you to look at you and get jealous and try to bring you back down to their level than it is for them to look at you and become inspired to level up themselves.
Yes. Have you experienced a lot of that? Just like friends or family kind of just maybe distancing, not really supporting some of the things that you do?
Yeah, I would say all of my friends when I first started my business, like I pretty much don't talk to them now, not because a massive thing happened. It's more so that as you grow, you tend to think differently. You just tend to outgrow people. Mm-hmm. And in the beginning, it was always just, you know, really subtle comments like, oh, haha, like you're trying to be an influencer and things like that. And like, who cares, you know, because 1 year down the line, you're going to be the one who's working for yourself and making good money. And they're still going to be the ones who are complaining and judging other people.
Literally.
So never let your friends or anyone around you stop you from doing what you know you need to do.
Literally. And it's the like, know you need to do it. Like trust your intuition, trust what your soul is calling for you to do, because there's going to be so much noise around you, so much negative. I've dealt with the same thing. Like, I feel like there's a lot of friends that once I started my podcast and just like putting myself out there and growing, it's like the more that I grow, the less that I hear about my success or like support from my friends. And it's, I'm at a point where it's just like, I'm mature. I get it. Some people are just going to feel triggered or just like less than, and just let people be what they are, but don't let them bring you down with them, because that's what they're just trying to do, honestly.
Yeah. And the amazing thing is you end up attracting people who are similar to you. So like,
yes,
the caliber of friends that I have now is completely different to the kind of friends that I had back then. Like in the beginning, I used to be part of in that friendship group where we would judge people all the time. We'd laugh at people. The first thing that we'd say would be something negative instead of something positive. We'd try to find the bad in everything. Whereas, and even back then, like to be honest, I would find myself being jealous of other people when I saw them succeeding, because part of me felt this like, oh, why do they deserve it and not me?
Mm-hmm.
Until I did that self-reflection and realized like, oh, okay, well, I have to take accountability on the fact that if I don't have something, a lot of the time, it's because I didn't even try to work for it in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, like, yeah.
No, you keep going. Sorry.
I was just going to say, as you level up, you make new friends who are like-minded and who support you, and where like you celebrate each other's wins.
Yeah. And that is like, what a good foundation of like having a relationship with friends, like not even romantic, but where people are actually supporting you and just you can talk about your successes and you can actually genuinely care and be there for them as well. Because I was the same way where it was just like, just always gossiping and everything was negative and low key. I was feeling, you know, just like unworthy of so many things and jealous of other people for their success. And it's just not a good feeling. It honestly isn't. And the more I started working on myself and becoming honestly like more that high value woman, I actually genuinely can support other women as well, which is where we should be anyways. But unfortunately, we have a lot of different wounds and things that don't allow. But if you're, I guess if you're around people who are like that, you just, you gotta put them to the side.
Yeah. A good test is look around you to the people that you hang out with, because we tend to be like our friends. It's almost a survival mechanism thing where we want to fit in to the people around us. So if you do a quick reality check and realize that, hey, maybe the people I'm hanging out with, they're not the kind of people, or they don't represent the kind of person that I want to be, then it might also be time to maybe look for new friends too, or a different group of friends. And it goes back to how earlier on we were talking about men. A really good way to kind of get a sense of who he is to see how his friends are like. And who does he hang out with? Like, if all his friends are the kind of men who, you know, they go partying, they go drinking, and they talk about women in a really disrespectful way, then more likely than not, the guy you're seeing is like that too.
I have a question about bringing it kind of back to high value women. I think we talked about, you know, just bringing something to society as well, and like working and having things going for ourselves kind of makes us more high value. But what have you heard from men about like what makes a woman high value? Because I think a lot of us, we automatically think we have to just be the hottest girl in the room, and like that's what men care about. Is that true? Like, do we need to really focus on our appearance? Like, how important do you think that is when it comes to just being a high value woman, I guess, in a man's eyes?
Yeah. So in a man's eyes, it's not about being the most genetically gifted. It's more about like, yes, you have, you like, men do want a woman who puts effort into her appearance and takes pride in her appearance, but that's very different from a woman who's just genetically gifted, but she doesn't have the character to back it up. So with a lot of high value men, what they're looking for is a woman who's got that substance and that intellect to be able to inspire him to grow. So that's the first thing. And the other really important thing too, is it goes back to how high value men look for the complementary traits that women look for in a man. So as women, we love a man who is hardworking, successful, he's well-educated, he's making good money. Like, you know, let's admit, most women want to go for a man who's got those things. Like, he's a doctor, he's a lawyer, six figures, whatever. So we assume that a man also looks for the same things in a woman. But there's a big difference between what men are impressed by career-wise versus what he's attracted to. And that's why there are a lot of successful, you know, really career successful and really ambitious and driven women who are single, not because they're not good enough or not because they're not attractive enough, but it's because they have been told that that's their selling point. So when it comes to dating, they're trying to almost sell the things that don't resonate with a man. When if we look at what high value men want, they value traits like femininity, nurturing, support way more than a woman who is just super ambitious and driven. And that's not to say that they don't want, they want a woman who's lazy. It's more so that we have to know what traits men value so that we can almost like focus on those as the value that we bring to a relationship.
That's very interesting. Yeah, I feel like we've, I don't know if we've just been taught or we just, we assume that men would value the same things that we value, but it's not really the full picture if you think about it, because if, yeah, we're really into like corporate life and working and grinding, what energy are we in when we do that? Well, that's more like masculine mm-hmm. energy. And if we're wanting a masculine man, he's not going to want that.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's because for a lot of men and women, we've been praised for our achievements. So right. then we assume that in dating, the more we've achieved in life in terms of like academically or career, the more we're going to be seen as desirable to a man. But those mm-hmm. things aren't super relevant compared to a woman who is tapped into her femininity. So yeah. it's not to say that a woman has to like give up her career and financially depend on her man. By all means, still be like the boss, babe, person that you want to be in your career. Mm-hmm. But just mentally realize that that side of you isn't what attracts a man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have any tips for women who realize that they are operating in their masculine energy in relationships, even out, and like things that they can do to kind of help them fall and or drop more into their feminine energy while they're dating someone?
Mm, yeah. The biggest thing is reframing what femininity means for you. I found that a lot of women are afraid of dropping their masculine energy because they think that femininity is a weakness, or they think it means that being feminine means you're second best, or that you're not as strong as a man. When the way you want to think of it is that feminine influence is actually a lot stronger than masculine force. And that's why the best, female seductresses like Cleopatra, right, were able to influence men to such a strong level because they know how to tap into their femininity the right way. So yeah. when you make that switch in your brain from realizing, from thinking, oh, feminine equals weak, to feminine means I can get whatever I want out of a guy, then you're more in you're more likely to allow yourself to step into that feminine energy, because right. you now see it as, hey, it's another form of power instead of weakness.
Right. Okay. That's it, you're so like, it's so true about the how powerful feminine energy is. And I think that once you go on this journey of like dropping more into your feminine energy and healing maybe some wounded parts of you, how you might be acting out of your feminine energy, you start to realize how powerful you are. And it's almost like it can be scary sometimes to realize how much power you could have, even over a, not over a man, but like how you influence a man sometimes. It's amazing.
Yeah. There's this phrase, I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's this idea of like topping from the bottom.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
Okay. So it was originally a BDSM term to describe like when the submissive person tries to like take power. But in masculine, feminine dynamics, it's more like if you know how to tap into your feminine energy the right way, then you can get a man to do almost anything for you while still letting him feel like he's the one in control instead of butting heads with him, which is what we might be more inclined to do if we operated from masculine energy.
Yes. I haven't heard of that term, but like totally resonate with that. It's amazing. I love that. Do you have any, I don't know, any people you look up to when it comes to learning more about like feminine energy? Because I just feel like a lot of women, they just don't know how to tap into that energy or like what that looks like on a day-to-day basis. Do you have any resources or people that you really look up to or have learned from?
The Art of Seduction is a really good book.
Mm-hmm. By Robert Greene.
Another one. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And another one is this book called, I think it's called like Pussy, A Reclamation.
I love that book.
Oh, you've read it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I saw you read it. Yeah. Yeah. It's really on the more like spiritual woo side of things, but it's a great start to understanding the power of leveraging your feminine energy.
Yes. Literally go run and get both those books because it's just... It really is transformative. I love that. I love that you said that book. Okay. Well, I have a few more questions. I have actually a few questions from my audience that submitted some on Instagram. So I'm just going to ask you a few if you have any tips or advice. Someone asked, how do you know if he is the one?
That's such a good question.
Yeah.
You know what? I would say at the end of the day, you never know 100%. You just have to a degree, allow yourself to trust.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. But the other thing is, does being in a relationship with him feel easy? A lot of people say that relationships are like super hard work, but I think they're only hard work if you're with the wrong person. If you're with the right person that you really get along with and both of you are committed to taking responsibility, then it should feel natural and easy more than it feels difficult.
Yes, that was actually a question somebody else had. People say relationships are hard work, but it's like there a limit on how difficult it can be. I think that, I mean, at the end of the day, you're going to have to make that decision for yourself. But if you feel like it's a constant struggle and you're not moving forward and healing certain parts of these, like the arguments or whatever's coming up, then yeah, you're probably not with somebody who knows how to work on a relationship or commit to taking responsibility and making your connection stronger.
Yeah. And also, we're dealing with human emotions and relationships at the end of the day. It's very easy to fall into this trap of thinking that there are framework or rules to follow. Yeah. When if we're looking at a question like, you know, is there a limit to how hard or how difficult a relationship should be? Don't underestimate the power of just using your intuition.
Yes.
If you feel and you sense that something isn't right, then don't ignore that.
Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of us women, unfortunately, we have been so disconnected. We've been taught to not trust that intuition or that part of us that's like that gut feeling of knowing that something is not right, and we just override it. There's a lot of reasons why we override it. Probably like we are desperate for love. We just want something. Maybe we don't feel worthy enough, or there's so many reasons, but don't forget about your intuition and what it's telling you. But at the same time, remember that relationships, it's not like they're hard, but it's just like you have to put in effort, and there's going to be ups and downs. You're like you said, you're dealing with another human being, and this human being might have wounds and limiting beliefs and different things. But as long as I think that they're showing up and they're communicating and they're willing to work on things, then you're in a good relationship. Is he the one? Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, a huge thing that I always say is from both sides, we're looking for effort and not perfection.
Yes.
Like sometimes we get scared feeling like, oh, we're not good enough for this man or whatever. But a man appreciates the fact that you try way more than the fact that you're really good at something. Say like cooking, for example, he would rather, I think it would mean everything to a man, like the right man, obviously, to see that his girl is making an effort to like try out new dishes for him compared to a woman who may be amazing at cooking, but she just doesn't want to do it for him.
Yes. So important.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Another question I have from someone is, how do I stop falling in love, or how do I stop myself from falling in love too quickly?
We have to make that mindset shift of judging a guy based on what he's done to pursue you instead of who he is and what he has. If we dig into why we tend to fall in love too quickly, it's because we fall in love with the things that he has. Like, oh, he's 6'2" and he makes really good money and he's a doctor and he's got really good charisma. Normally, when a guy comes like that, you'll find that we tend to drop all our standards because we are in love with this idea of who he is. And that's why as women, we tend to be way more tolerant of a guy who's good looking, even though he gives us bare minimum, just because he's good looking. And we take that as a sign that he's into us when he just flirts with us once a week. So a huge thing is look for, is he being consistent in putting in the effort to pursue you? There's this really famous saying or way of thinking, which is like, invest in him as much as he invests in you. So if your guy is barely investing in you, you know, he's only messaging you once in a while at like 9 p.m. asking you to go over to his place, it doesn't matter how good looking he is. It doesn't matter how much money he makes, right? He's barely giving you any sort of effort and respect. In that case, don't invest more than what he's investing in it.
Yeah, that's so good. And I also think that when we're falling in love with him and just putting so much energy and attention on him, I find, and I've seen this in myself when I didn't really have much going on in my life as well. Like I wasn't standing in a lot of confidence or self-worth. I wasn't working towards a lot. I found that I was hyper obsessed and focused on men and even the men who did the bare minimum. So I think like another good thing to have is just like your own life and focusing on, you know, like your purpose or your passions or hobbies, things like that, that really kind of help you not fall into like the love bombing trap or just like falling in love too quickly about what he looks like or what he's saying to you.
Yeah. One of the, you know, advice that everyone gets is like, oh, the best way to get in a relationship is just to focus on yourself instead of looking for a relationship. And, you know, it's so cliche, but it's also really true. Because when you work on yourself, then not only do you have more depth to your character, right? Yeah. Because you have more hobbies and interests, but also it translates over to dating because you no longer give off this vibe that you're needy and always available. And it's that energy of like non-neediness and a woman who's got her own thing going on that's really attractive to men.
Right. Yeah. And that's like you being in your feminine energy and a masculine man wants to pursue that. How is he going to be able to pursue you when you're pursuing him? Like it doesn't work.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And that's a really difficult thing too. Nowadays is we want that control as women. I've made that mistake too, where I don't give a guy the space to do the pursuing. Like I would be always the one who wants to hint at a second date. Or I would be the one to want to like plan the date and move things forward. When the best thing that you can do is to sit back and focus on being and let the guy do the pursuing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Like let him be a man. Let him pursue you. Let him allow him the space to be in his masculine energy if that's what you're saying that you want. And again, it comes back to like what's going to help your man be in his masculine energy for you to be in your feminine energy. Bring your energy towards yourself, like focus on things that you can up-level in your own life and just let him be a man and pursue you.
I love that.
Yeah. Okay, last question. What are the most common complaints that you hear from men about women, if you do hear any of them?
Yeah. So we really have to distinguish between like average men and high value men.
Okay, yeah.
Because, you know, I'm not going to bother talking about the common complaints that bottom of the barrel men have. Like, oh, she's a gold digger. Like, no, right? So if we just look at the men who we actually care about, one of the biggest ones goes back to femininity. Mm-hmm. Like high value men, they actually find it incredibly rare to find a woman who is tapped into her feminine side. So I call this like feminine awareness of like when you're interacting with a guy or when you're showing up on dates, do you know how to do the small things to allow him to feel like a man? Classic example of, say he wants to pay for the bill, which is what a provider should do, there are certain women who would actually say no and wrestle him so that they can pay their half. Or another example being if they just finished dinner and it's cold, a guy would lend the woman his jacket, but the girl would be like, oh no, I feel bad, like you can have the jacket yourself. And what you need to know is that in those moments, a man isn't only doing it for you. He's also doing it for him because he needs to feel like a man. He needs those moments where he can feel like the masculine. And so a big thing that we can do as women is start to build that awareness of what are the small things that I can do that will allow him to get the thing that he, or get the thing that is really important to him, which is have those moments where he feels super masculine.
Yeah. And another thing to remind yourself is like, you also deserve to be given the jacket, or you deserve somebody to want to treat you on a date. I think part of that is like, we just feel like we're not deserving of having a man spoil us or take care of us. And I don't know if you have any advice or like tips on women who are in that mindset. Like, how do you, I don't know if you weren't and now you probably are, how you get from like actually believing that you deserve that type of treatment?
Yeah. So I definitely used to be the woman who felt like I never deserved anything. And it's because I had really bad experiences with men. Most of my, like the men I dated in the past all turned out to be not what I wanted. So we apply that and we generalize that to all men. But if you think about it, like statistically, even if you've dated like 100 guys, there are still literally billions of people, billions of men on this planet that you haven't met. And so it all starts with your belief that there are good men out there, and that there are men who genuinely want to do things for you and want to treat you like a queen, not because they expect something in return, but because they respect women and know that you deserve it. And so if you go into dating with that mindset where, hey, men actually want to please you, then you would show up in a completely different way, in the sense that you would be more open to receiving and less skeptical.
Right. Yeah. It's the mindset shift of not playing into all men are trash, you're feeling jaded, there's no good men out there. If you continue to stay in that mindset, you are going to manifest the same type of men in your life. And that's something that I had to really work on. It's the self-awareness piece of realizing I was playing into a lot of that narrative, even with my friends. All men are trash. Once he did one weird thing, we would just like throw all of the men out. But it's like, how is that helping you? It's literally not. So it's about, reframing your mind and thinking like, okay, there is so many men out there. They can't all be the same. They can't all be trash. Like, there's just no way.
Yeah. And like you said, our beliefs create our reality. So 100%. If you believe that all men are trash, or if you believe that no men want commitment, then what's going to happen is you're going to self-sabotage, because your subconscious wants you to be right in your belief. And like an example of this is, maybe you've been dating a guy for like around 3-4 weeks and you feel like it's around the time that he is going to ask you to be official, but he hasn't done that yet. If you have the belief that all men don't want commitment, all men are trash, then what can happen is you might subconsciously start picking fights with the guy. You might start getting mad at him for random things. You might start to nag him a bit more. And what will happen is those behaviors will push him away and ending things, which will then confirm your belief that all men are trash or no man wants to commit. So the first step in changing your reality is to do with changing your belief and how you see men and how you see relationships, because that's what's going to change your attitude and your actions.
So true. So good. Wow. So start with a mindset and align your actions to that new belief or that new mindset, and you'll really start to see things change in reality. That's what happened to me. I'm sure it's happened to you as well.
Yeah. It's how manifestation works, right? Yeah. Like, we believe something, and so our belief changes our actions, and then our actions change our reality.
Right. Yeah. And that happens with men. It happens with money. It happens with everything. Wow. Okay. I think we talked about everything we needed to talk about. I think everyone is going to love this episode. I don't know if you have any final words or like advice, anything that you want to give to the ladies before we end, you can let us know.
Absolutely. If you want to date a high value man, don't just focus on where do I find a high value man. Focus on who do I need to be in order to date a high value man. So don't focus on finding the man, focus on leveling up yourself. And then when you're on your own level up journey, that's when you'll more likely meet the right man, just as a byproduct of you working on yourself.
Amazing. So good. Focus on becoming that woman yourself, and everything mm-hmm. will start to come in and align with who you are.
Yep.
Amazing. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. I feel like you need to come on like every week and talk about this over and over so we just get it in our minds. I'm hoping that everyone is really inspired by this conversation. You've even inspired me. And thank you so much for everything you do, all your work. Just let everyone know where they can find you on social media, because everyone needs to binge your content.
Love it. Okay. My TikTok and my Instagram is both at Real Hannah Chan.
Okay, amazing. Thank you so much. And we'll talk soon.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You're welcome.